This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and these are our stories for Friday, January 18th. Carla Pereira is on assignment. A long-pending amateur radio antenna litigation situation that ARRL helped fund has finally borne fruit. The Supreme Court of the State of New York Appellate Division, 2nd Judicial Department, has ruled in the case of Miles Landstein, N2EHG, that the town of LaGrange, New York, not only overstepped its state-granted authority by assessing excessive fees, but also violated limited federal preemption PRB1 in the process. PRB1 requires municipalities and states to reasonably accommodate amateur radio equipment and antennas to apply, quote, the minimum practicable regulation, unquote, in handling amateur radio antenna applications. The ruling is slated to be published as a case decision. The story begins with Landstein's plans to erect a 70-foot antenna tower. However, the town incurred more than $17,000 in legal consulting fees in connection with Landstein's application and informed Landstein that he was required to reimburse the town for those fees before any determination could be made. ARRL became involved in the case because New York is the only state that has held that amateur radio antennas are not necessarily, quote, a normal accessory use, unquote, to residential property. The court concluded that the town, quote, may not use its land use regulatory authority to construct hoop after hoop for the petitioner to jump through in order to erect his radio antenna tower and cannot impose unreasonable expenses so as to create an insurmountable financial barrier to the pursuit of the project. Close quote. The U.S. Islands Award Program celebrates its 25th anniversary this year, and it's offering a commemorative award for both the chasers and activators for contacts made between January 1st and December 31st. To qualify, chasers must confirm 25 islands during 2019. As a club or individual, and activators must qualify or activate 25 islands in any combination, making at least 15 contacts for new island qualification and island activation. This award can be issued to multiple club members using a single call sign or to an individual. Send a list of confirmed or activated islands to Award Chairman J. Chamberlain, NS4J. The list should include the name, call sign, address, email, USI number, island name, date worked or activated, and the call sign used or worked. The following permanent rule changes also went into effect on January 1st. The minimum contact count for island qualification has been lowered from 25 to 15. The contact requirement of 2 DXCCs during an island qualification has been dropped, and the bands eligible for island qualifications have been expanded to include 6 meters and satellite contacts. Radio Amateurs of Canada has announced that Gabor Horvath, VE7JH, is the recipient of their Amateur of the Year Award for 2018. According to a statement, quote, Gabor has demonstrated an intensive commitment to diverse aspects of amateur radio, and in 2010 he was recognized as the Pacific Northwest VHFer of the Year. He was the only Canadian to compete in the 14th IARU High Speed Telegraphy World Championship in 2017 and was one of only 4 Canadians competing in the 2018 World Radio Sport Team Championship. In addition, he was a volunteer in developing the Radio Amateurs of Canada 150 Award in 2017, unquote. Despite being notoriously difficult to obtain, Akio Kaguchi, JE2QIZ, reports that he has received a license from the Myanmar Ministry of Transportation and Communication. His call sign there will be XZ2B. Taguchi explained that Myanmar only permits amateur radio operation from 20 megahertz to 300 megahertz and an output of just 25 watts. He plans to operate a fishing rod antenna, he says, from his hotel. Because license fees in Myanmar are assessed in terms of spectrum used, Taguchi said his license authorizes operation within 20 kilohertz of the band edges. He will operate CW only. As of January 12th, he's reported to have contacted stations in New Zealand, Australia, China, the Philippines, and Russia. His license is valid for 150 days. More than 80,000 contacts went into the logs at participating stations in December's Youngsters on the Air, or YOTA, month, with most operations taking place in the International Amateur Radio Union Region 1. The final tally included 46,989 contacts on SSB, another 28,064 on CW, some 3,814 on FT8, and all the rest on various other modes. The most active station during YOTA month 2018 was II5YOTA in Italy, which logged 8,387 contacts. The preferred bands turned out to be 40 and 20 meters, with more than 30,000 contacts logged from YOTA month participants on each band. Complete statistics are available on the YOTA website. YOTA also announced that YOTA Youth Skeds will start up again in 2019. The on-the-air event will take place every fourth Thursday from 1900 to 2200 UTC with a different group of youngsters acting as net control. The YOTA Youth Sked will convene on or about 7.175 MHz, moving later to 3.675 MHz. I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Radio Sport Manager. And Bart, the ARRL International Grid Chase is over, actually, but we never did discuss December and what happened there.
We have not, Steve, and this will be the final wrap of the event, at least from the podcast go. We did wrap up December 2018, the grid chase, with the last log uploads as of January 10th of 2019. And overall, the event was very, very popular, strong, extraordinarily great numbers. We wrapped up the event with almost 24,000 log submissions during the month of January.
Wow.
And with activity totals nearing 118,000 confirmed QSOs as a part of the grid chase.
Was that January or December?
That's the January results cut off on December results cut off on January 10th. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Overall, Steve, we saw about a 6% decrease between the month of November and December. We did see an increase in VHF activity on the scope of about 36% over November. And we saw a slight decrease in HF activity over the month of November.
Okay. When will you actually start crunching the numbers for the entire year, for the whole event?
Actually, Steve, that's already begun, and it's going to be a process that's going to take us a few weeks. Some have commented that there's some differences in numbers at the state level, so we're taking a look at that. Once we sort those out, get the selection criteria set up for year-end results and get that posted on the website, then we'll be in a position to make that live and start adding to the certificate program the ability to see year-end numbers.
Oh, that's great. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, coming up in the April issue of QST, we'll have a complete overview of what happened.
Exactly. We're going to do a full analysis. We're going to point out all of the extraordinary efforts based on numbers, based on bands, and just the extreme activity strengths that we found during the event, particularly, again, the numbers speak for themselves, at the digital level, which was so strong during the event.
That's to be expected, I would think. Okay, thank you very much, Bart.
Thank you, Steve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
It is now getting to the point where a satellite is not launched once a year, but almost every few weeks. Japan had a satellite launch today, Friday, and the CW beacon has been heard shortly after the deployment. You can listen for the satellite Nexus on 437.075 MHz for their CW beacon. Are you a U.S. Islands awards chaser? If so, for 2019, the rules were updated to include contacts from satellites. So many people have asked about how to correct for Doppler from the satellite with your station. We have heard, I always correct for the downlink. I always correct the higher of the two frequencies, or I correct both. If you would like to read one of the better articles on correcting for Doppler, click over to AMSAT.org, select Satellite Info from the menu, and choose Station and Operating Hints. At the very bottom of the page is an article from Allen, WA4SCA, that might answer your questions and put you on the right path to making contacts. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
This is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, January 18th. There are no sunspots to report this week, which should come as no surprise to just about everyone. As a result, the solar flux index has dipped to 70 and may slide down to about 68. Now, to put this in perspective, during the peak of solar cycle 24 in 2014, we were seeing solar flux indices as high as 170. A coronal hole in the sun's atmosphere is going to be rotating into view over the next several days, so look for some geomagnetic storm disruptions on the HF bands by the middle of next week. On VHF and UHF, conditions are relatively quiet at the moment. In the coming days, however, look for possible band openings throughout the state of Florida as well as in Southern California at 2 meters and up.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.